Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Marty Sleva. Jared Petty.
I'm not Sam.
We've got a great show for you this week. We've got to talk about the new games coming out in June. Mm-hmm. It's June now.
Oh, dang. I gotta pay rent.
Yep.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah. It's too real.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some of our favorite video game controllers of all time. Mm. But first, E3 is still coming. I know we've been talking about it for weeks, but it's not over yet. It's still in our future.
I think I said last week it's equal parts excitement and dread. Yeah, I'm definitely leaning more towards the dread side the more time that passes.
Still full of enthusiasm and excitement.
No, it's a very, very exciting time of year, but it's also, I never, ever work harder.
Today, we're going to talk about VR.
Ooh.
And how VR will be featured at E3 this year.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So there's three big VR platforms right now, right? Oculus, Vive, and PlayStation VR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two of the three, 66% of them are already out.
Yeah. You're right.
That took a little bit.
I don't know how to math.
Yeah, we don't.
No, you got it. You got there.
So I wonder if PlayStation VR, maybe that's a good place to start. That's probably the most exciting VR hardware at E3 this year.
That's the one we're hoping to get answers for.
Yeah totally.
So we already know price, and we know October release window.
And it's that price that makes it so exciting for me. This is, I think, kind of the original Game Boy of VR. This is the one that they're pricing at a place where, like, you know what? You already got the PlayStation. You don't have to buy a big, fancy, expensive computer. You just plug it in, and off you go, and you're VRing. And that's what's exciting about it for me. It's going to be the good enough VR system. What's that?
I just didn't know what that voice was.
Oh, that?
Is it very folksy?
PlayStation VR.
I'm very folksy.
I've been feeling folksy today. Yeah. I have been feeling folksy.
Is it the shirt?
Huh? Is this old shirt? It's my 15-year-old shirt.
So it's my oldest shirt. What is that price? If anybody doesn't,
$399.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Yep.
You know, I would never guess that shirt is 15 years old.
I've taken good care of it.
Looks not a day over 3 years old.
I've taken better care of the shirt than I have of my body.
To me, the most exciting thing about PSVR is maybe seeing what some of the first-party Sony studios are working on.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see if folks like Naughty Dog and folks like Sony Santa Monica or Media Molecule, or Sony Japan Studios, if they have projects that are specifically made for PSVR, or what sort of experiences could exist inside known Sony franchises like Uncharted or Infamous or Ratchet, and I'm hoping we see some of that at the conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to get this really interesting mix of, hey, here's a traditional sort of standard game, or here's like a plussed up VR version of it. Here's something that you can only play on VR. Here's, you know, it's not Uncharted 4 in VR, but sort of a very cool, interactive Uncharted experience. I think we're going to get things that sort of run the gamut there, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Do you guys think this is where we're going to see that Super Mario Brothers of VR, that game that just makes us have to have this, have to try it? Is this going to be the show we see?
Mario doesn't think so.
No, I don't think we're going to see that for a couple of years, to be honest. I think there's a lot of cool things we've seen so far across all three VR platforms, but I don't know. I don't know if we're ever going to see something that is the Super Mario Brothers of something ever again.
Really? You don't think so?
No.
That's sad.
Man. Yeah. I think that's coming again. I think sooner or later somebody's going to... So there's always those people that just clock us in the side of the head and surprise us with things we never imagined.
Mario is coming.
Mario is coming,
as they say.
Dun, 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 Mario is coming to PlayStation VR. You heard it here first.
Cool. Sony has a big press conference that Monday of E3, caps off that Monday. How much of Sony's conference do you think they'll dedicate to VR?
25 minutes. Can we actually
in a 90-minute show.
Can this be a pizza bet?
Yeah, what the winner The loser buys pizza?
I don't know, man. However these things work.
I want to know what kind of deal I'm getting into here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Whoever is the farthest off has to buy pizza for the
Okay.
Like a slice for the other three?
Yeah.
You have to buy one pizza for the four of us to eat.
Okay. Is everyone on board with this?
Yeah. And it's not like the actual pricing. It's not like the showcase show or pricing game.
No.
Like,
no, if you're over, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. 25 minutes.
25 minutes. Their show's usually 90 minutes.
Yeah, usually 90 minutes. I think less than that. I think 15.
Oh. Mm. Okay. I'm going to say 26 minutes.
Okay. Then I'm gonna,
you are just the worst.
Then I'm just going to go 20. 20 minutes.
I just got petted.
So the viewers, listeners, will keep us honest. It goes 17, 20, 25,
wait,
26.
I said 15.
Oh, sorry.
Didn't
they guess 17?
There's only 2.5 minutes where I win now.
Yeah. Marty guesses 15. I guess 20. Justin guesses 25. Jerry guesses 26.
Yeah. Now, that's a risk, though, because if it turns out to be anything other, I'm going to end up... if it's below 26, I have to buy pizza now.
Yeah, but yours is the least risk, because if half their conference is VR, then you win.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
So what if they demo a game,
yeah,
and there's also a VR version of that game?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just counting
that? Total. We're talking about total minutes, not all in one.
You know what's incredible about this? Damon can't lose.
Can't lose. Why?
Because he gets
beat. I feel like the only people who can lose are Jared or I for being on the outsides, because we said who's the closest. I just realized that. If it's above 26, I lose. If it's below 15, Jared loses.
Yeah, it's only if it falls.
There's no way that
either
of you can lose.
Yeah, there's some game theory here that we definitely didn't consider before we started.
I'll walk right into my trap.
Now we know where the price is right.
Here's what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be blam. Here's a new game. It's coming to PS4, and Neo and PSVR. Blam, here's a new game. It's coming to PS4, it's coming to Neo and PSVR. And I think that's just going to be, I think that's how they're going to cap off almost all of their games, is they're going to have lined up, 2 to 3 versions of all of them. That's my expectation.
Interesting. Do you think some GameScoop viewer will prepare a supercut of every second of the show where they're talking about VR?
God bless them if they do.
All right.
Do we think we'll get a release date? An actual
date
that they'll
pick? Yeah.
In October.
Yes. I think it'll be the first Tuesday in October.
Now, we keep hearing that VR is supposed to be closely tied to PlayStation Neo. Mm-hmm. Right? It's supposed to provide some of that extra power to really amp up your VR experience. So.
Yeah, so I mean, in theory, Sony could be talking about hardware and tech a lot during their conference.
Maybe up to 25 minutes.
Maybe up to 25 minutes, yeah.
Surely not more.
Sort of some of the things we heard, since PSVR needs this external box that it comes with in order to be powered, it's like extra processing power. So we sort of heard that Neo would have that incorporated internally, which might make PlayStation VR cheaper if you had a Neo down the road.
Yeah, or if you're someone that hasn't, for whatever reason, hasn't jumped into next gen yet, now there's like a perfect opportunity where you have this VR ready box. You get the extra horsepower if that's all you care about, but if you are interested in VR, you're also sort of future proofed in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll do a discount bundle with the two together?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. What do you think they'll price that at?
No one knows. No, I don't know. I mean, I think it's really hard to speculate, because I don't know how much. I don't know enough about the cost of PSVR to break down what's the head. What's the screen and the headset, and then what's in that box. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we'll see more of a Star Wars Battlefront for PlayStation VR.
It's supposed to be coming out this year, or whatever that experience is.
Battlefront experience.
Yeah.
I don't. I think maybe we'll see it at Celebration Star Wars Celebration in July.
Battlefront is a third-person game, right?
It could be either. Oh, okay. You could toggle third and first person. When they say experience, I'm pretty sure, I don't think it's going to be, here's the full game in VR. I think it might be like, here's a cool tour of the various planets in VR.
I mean, even if that was all it is,
that's still pretty cool.
It's crazy cool. It's a little disappointing just because Battlefront's, such a crazy awesome game. But the environments in that game, like Endor, it's the best Endor I've ever seen, outside of the films. And same with all the environments in that game, crafted with such loving detail. To be able to wander around them peacefully in VR would be
great. Like, put yourself in the cockpit of any ship, or like in AT-AT, or the Millennium Falcon, or an X-Wing.
Maybe that kind of a tech demo. Maybe simply a dogfighting, low atmospheric thing. That could be fun.
Dogs.
I don't think we've ever seen a dog in the Star Wars universe.
Space dog?
A lot of aliens, but not dogs.
Yeah, weird.
I don't remember space dog, but I'll bet you somewhere in that like awful Marvel Comics run back years ago, there was a dog. There has to be one in
there. Dagobah just has regular ass snakes.
Dagobah.
Yeah, Dagobah. There we go.
Will they reveal No Man's Sky VR? Nomansky VR.
Well, it got delayed 2 months, so that would put it closer to, its August release is now closer to PSVR. I still think that eventually we're going to get that. I think maybe they're going to be radio, I don't know. That would be a good way to, because they got a lot of backlash for delaying it 2 months, mm-hmm. so maybe that would be a good way to earn some favor back, is like part of the delay is because we wanted to get this VR tech ready.
That makes sense to me.
This is based on nothing, but my guess is no.
Yeah,
I think No Man's Sky is being made by a pretty small team, you know, a new developer that's really, really working hard to get there. Yeah, just
they've probably been driven close to the edge of just trying to finish this regular. Yeah.
But I also wonder if grafting VR onto something like that isn't something you can farm out to a third-party studio and have them do that piece of it as well.
I mean, there's also just no, like, just wait. Like, they can patch in VR when VR comes out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when that game is out in August, PlayStation VR won't be out yet. And they probably don't want to like have people saying, well, I'll just wait for the VR version if it's already been announced.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they will simply announce, and by the way, for every copy you buy, that it'll also eventually be VR compatible. No, that makes the most sense to me.
It was just a free thing.
Yeah, just say, hey, by the way, if you buy this now, like, when PlayStation VR comes out, you're going to be able to use it.
They're going to be able to say, No Man's Sky will be out this summer, and I have a VR-y good reason for you to buy the game. You heard it here first.
You're on fire today.
And then he just walks off stage, and everyone's like, "What? Did he just like stutter? Like, what just happened?"
All right, moving on to Oculus then. Mm-hmm. Oculus has been confirmed for E3. They usually have a big booth on the show floor. Oculus is out now. They're still trying to like ship all the units that have been purchased. So, like, what do you think Oculus needs to do next?
I mean, they have to make a big splash, I think. And again, I don't, you know, it's not like I'm crazy plugged into the VR space. My sense as someone that, you know, dips into the news a couple times a week is that Vive has been a more viable competitor than Oculus expected. That's the sense that I get, is that, you know, it's a great VR product. A lot of people think it's a better VR product in a lot of ways, although, you know, there are cost and other considerations there. And so I think Oculus needs to, they really need to sort of paint their picture for, you know, what's next and why. If you can only get one VR platform, why it should be their platform?
Yeah, I think they need some kind of software tie-in. The fact is that Sony's got their library of games to pull on, and Vive's got, you know, of course, they've got studios on their side
now. Working closely with Steam.
Exactly, the fact that they're integrated with Valve, the fact that a Valve demo, you know, comes with the Vive. Oculus needs something like that.
Yeah, I expect to see Oculus pop up in the name spoken a lot at the third party presentations at stuff like EA and Ubisoft and maybe even Bethesda. I also think it'll be a part of the Microsoft presentation. Microsoft's been closely aligned with Oculus on the PC front, and then recent rumors of the Xbox Scorpio coming as sort of an Xbox One that's more powerful coming next year that might be able to support Oculus.
Yeah, similar to PlayStation Neo.
Yeah,
and
totally.
PlayStation VR.
Yeah, so that would you know, having you know, Microsoft sort of draw the line in the sand and say like, hey, the whether you're gaming on a PC or whether you have an Xbox 1.5 or whatever, Oculus is going to be the VR of choice there.
There's also lending credence to that is the official E3 website. There's a certain amount of developers. They're listed as developing for the platform Xbox Virtual Reality.
Mm, interesting.
So unless that's just a typo,
then
there are multiple developers working on something for Xbox Virtual Reality.
Well, then you have the HoloLens connection there, too, though, because the other question is, if Microsoft's going full holographic, does it make sense for the, you know, Oculus might be a way to hedge their bet, might be a way to make sure that they remain competitive without risking too much, but they do seem very invested in this idea of bringing Windows to a holographic environment, of kind of dominating the holographic business space, and that's a place we don't talk about as much, but as cool as holographics are for games, they're going to try to sell holographic graphics in boardrooms and corporations.
I almost feel like HoloLens is more about non-gaming things than it is about gaming applications, whereas I feel like VR would be more immersed in games themselves.
Yeah, they did show off HoloLens at E3 last year.
Yeah, they had a Minecraft demo. And then a lot of us got to see a pretty cool Halo demo where you're sort of going through the brig of a ship. Ships have brigs?
They do have brigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you lock them people up.
Yeah, I don't think it was a brig.
Yeah, a brig is where you lock.
Bulk?
That's where you lock up the drunken sailors early in the morning.
Definitely wasn't where I was walking through.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. That's okay. You'll get it next time.
Well, Oculus, before we move on, Oculus, I think they still need that killer app.
Yeah.
They still are lacking that.
There's
killer
a
killer app.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting sort of philosophical debate in the world of VR, which is this a display? Like, you know, is it equivalent to a television or is it equivalent to a game console? And they kind of have one foot in both world, and there's a reasonable case to be made for both. But should it be walled off? Should there be Oculus games that only work on the Oculus, or should games just be VR games in the same way that games are TV games? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of torn. You know, I feel like I think the open standard is definitely better for consumers, but maybe there won't be, you know, there won't be enough money in that business for it to make sense.
I've heard anecdotally a lot of Oculus is heavily courting a lot of developers and publishers and trying to get some form of exclusivity, even if it's timed exclusivity on the Rift.
I mean, I kind of consider that a bad thing. I mean, I don't kind of, that is a bad thing, but that also might be what this space needs to survive, you know, why it makes sense for Facebook to continue, you know, putting billions of dollars into, you know, a startup like Oculus. So.
I planned on buying a Rift when they came out, and then I got a chance to play with the Vive, and with Vive came that little Valve demo of the, in this case, a kind of a bullet hell shooter game. And it's a simple demo, but a wonderful proof of concept. And I walked out of that going, if that were a full game, I would be tempted to just go with this thing if it's the only place I could get it. And it really changed how I thought about the whole VR space, just like here.
I mean, I think for a long, long time, VR was Oculus. And for a long time, I mean, a few years, you know. And then, like, this crazy thing happened where the PSVR is cheaper and has more gaming chops behind it. And the Vive is probably, I mean, I don't think I'm going out on a limb, or it's too controversial to say it's probably a better overall VR experience.
Well, especially,
and so that puts Oculus in this strange place now.
Yeah, especially as of right now, because Oculus Touch isn't out yet.
Yeah.
Oculus Touch is sort of going to create a more, you know, honest form of parity between Vive and Oculus. And yeah, I mean, by the end of the year, like, I'd be willing to bet that even though they've had a 6-month lead on it, PSVR will be the best-selling, even if it's only out for a month and a half, 2 months, it'll be the best-selling VR headset just because of the, by then, 50, 60 million install base of a PS4.
Price, so important for this kind of thing. That said, that Facebook money, though. When it comes to Oculus, I mean,
a great man once said, "That's Facebook money, dough."
I believe that was former community manager Chris Abbott.
Oh, I thought it was Dat Boy.
All right, moving on. A new month has begun. It is now June, the 6th month of 2016, the month of the summer solstice, longest day of the year, and
it's my favorite solstice.
Of all the solstices,
yeah.
It's time to rank the solstices.
There's an even number!
Summer, winter.
There you go.
But if you put equinoxes in the mix, then it's a little complicated.
That gets
I've chosen 9 games to keep an eye on this month. I do not know whether these games will end up being awesome or not. These are games that I'm looking forward to checking out this month. June 7th, we get Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Now, what do you think the, I don't know, my sense is that there isn't a lot of hype and excitement for this game. Nobody seems to really be talking about this game. It's out next week.
It's coming out at a really weird time. It's coming out right before E3.
And
that's weird for us.
Most people aren't going to E3.
They're not going to E3, but still, there's going to be all kinds of other news about other games they could be playing coming out around the same time, and maybe that's drowning it out a little bit. But I think Mirror's Edge Catalyst looks neat.
I do too. It looks great.
I think Mirror's Edge is groovy, and I think Catalyst looks fun.
I mean, people kind of forget Mirror's Edge was like a flop, man. Like, that game came out and nobody cared. Like, you know, we cared, and like, the kids on GeoGAF cared, but like, the world didn't care.
A cult following.
Yeah, definitely. So it's almost like a, you know, it's amazing that we ended up getting a sequel or prequel, whatever the hell Catalyst is.
But, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it.
It had a much higher profile, like, unveiling, right? It's been at
E3. This might be one of those victims, like Battleborn and Evolve, of sort of a death by a thousand cuts of, it got delayed a lot. And it's sort of, we saw a lot of it, and there were demos and betas, and it was on stage at various conferences, and it was almost like...
Beta for a single player game.
It's weird, right? Yeah.
That used to just be called a demo.
Yeah,
it did.
Makes you think.
Game is not, forgive me, is this game an Xbox exclusive?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Yeah, PS4.
That's the reason why.
Yeah.
There isn't much.
I think it was unveiled at the Xbox conference.
I think so, and I remember at PAX it was at Microsoft's booth.
I think these games pair up
with a console for their marketing, and then it can be sometimes hard to sort out.
But I don't know, maybe that's why, because the install base for PS4 is just so much larger.
Mm-hmm. I'm just scared to death Bad Timing is going to kill this one, and that's going to be the game you pick up in the discount bin for $40 a couple of months from now and enjoy very much.
But. Yeah. That same day as Odin Sphere Leftriser.
Woohoo! Man, Odin Sphere is so good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like,
it's like it's one of those games where if someone's like, hey, name a game that you're interested in playing again, that wouldn't have even have been on my radar. But now that it's coming out, I'm like, yeah.
That, and Megan Sullivan reviewed it, said that it cleans up what problems did exist in the original. Apparently, it's beautiful on PS4 and strangely even more beautiful on Vita.
Perfect.
She says just a fantastic Vita game.
Yeah, that OLED screen.
So, I cannot wait, because I thought Odin Sphere was groovy the first time around.
Yeah. It's such an interesting, unique concept in terms of just the way the game unfolds and mechanics and the battle circle things.
Yep, that game's also long as hell. Like, it keeps going longer than you think, but in a good way. Like,
awesome Vita game, actually.
It was the Princess Crown sequel we never knew we needed.
But it totally looks like a Damy game, but I did not play it first time around. I didn't have a PS3 at the time, so yeah. It's coming out for PS4, PS3, and Vita now.
Do you play Muramasa, Damon?
I did play that one on Wii.
Wii,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that also, that same day, next week, SteamWorld Heist HD comes to PS4 and Vita.
Good.
And I'm stoked for that, because SteamWorld Dig was awesome.
SteamWorld Heist is super cool.
Yeah, and SteamWorld Heist is a turn-based game set in the same world, but it was on 3DS, and I just never got around to playing that version.
Yeah. So.
I think it's either, you don't have Steam listed on there?
Is it not already out on Steam?
I don't know.
I have
okay.
If it's not already out on Steam, it's going to
sure.
be Steam
yeah.
too. Then June 10th is Kirby Planet Robobot.
Yay!
Coming to 3DS. New Kirby game.
I like Kirby games.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
You look
a
little bit like Kirby.
I kind of do look a little bit like Kirby, especially today. Yeah, this bigger. I was Kirby for Halloween one year.
That's great.
I built a giant big old Kirby suit. It was fun. Yeah.
Nice.
But Kirby is Kirby games are generally good. There's a few lousy ones in the mix, but most of them are solid at worst and really good at best. Mm-hmm. And Brendan Graber played this, liked it.
Yeah. So,
please everyone sign my change.org petition for Kirby's Dream Course 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that game's good.
Well, the original.
Yeah.
2 doesn't exist. I just made it up.
But the original is real, real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
June 21st is Mighty No. 9. Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, that trailer.
But it's very interesting. Yeah, the trailer was awful. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of excitement when this game first launched on Kickstarter, and then it's just been sort of a long, slow decline, I think, in hype.
Yeah.
Too many delays, and then just the tone deafness of the trailer. I don't get it. It was deflating, and I shouldn't allow 90 seconds of video to take away my excitement for what looks like a pretty good game.
I mean, the trailer, that's the irony, is that the game looked great in the trailer, but it was just so awful. The narration was so awful, and writing was so awful. I kind of can't believe it.
Yeah,
you just watch
crazy.
It, and you can't believe it.
It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very interested to see how that game finally turned out.
Yeah.
After all the delays, after all the time.
It's probably great.
Yeah. I don't know.
Looks like a fun game.
What?
That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
I mean, if they just made a new Mega Man game.
Yeah. They did.
It looks like they made Mega Man with speedrunning culture in mind. That's what I see there. I see Mega Man with built-in speedrunning stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Well, fittingly, since Mighty No. 9 is spiritually a Capcom game, Capcom has Umbrella Corp. coming out
same day,
June 21st. And you say no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Sleva says no thank you.
I'm a giant Resident Evil fan.
Oh, wait, I thought this was the Mary Poppins game. This is the Resident Evil one? Okay.
Nah. That was an umbrella, humor.
There we are.
I'm a huge Resident Evil fan. Resident Evil Remake, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 4 are some of my favorite games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a team-based shooter, third-person shooter.
Is it not like a mercenary mode? Like just a
But it's multiplayer.
With multiplayer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's like AI zombies running around the map. I think literally for the next 6 months, I think people are only going to be playing Overwatch. And no other multiplayer shooter should probably just exist.
I do admit that I doubt anybody was asking for this game.
Yeah.
It's sad to say, a decade ago, I would have really trusted Capcom to do this game right.
Mm-hmm.
But like their output's kind of shaky now, and I just don't. Like I don't, maybe it'll turn out to be great, but I don't think that that's nearly as assured of a thing as it would have been, you know, with old Capcom.
I have a feeling there have been some rumors of maybe of us seeing what the future of Resident Evil is at E3, whether it's a Resident Evil 7 or whether it's like a full-on franchise reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that we see something that looks amazing and that I could just think about that and...
As long as it's got more Albert Wesker, because everyone wants to know what he's up to.
Resident Evil, this time it's good.
Whatever happened to Wesker?
To Wesker.
You know what we won't be playing on June 21st is No Man's Sky.
Oh, and I'm so sad about it, but also happy because it's not done and don't release things when they're not done. But
I'm still skeptical.
Oh, I can't wait to play that game.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I ain't worried if there's not a game in there. I just want to travel around planets and see dinosaurs. I'll seriously be okay if that's all it is.
And I want to name them after Panguses.
Yeah. Just the one Pangus, really.
No, there's a bunch of names. You can name one as Schwantz.
Minecraft.
Dennis.
Minecraft in space that just goes on forever. That's just perfect.
Yeah, but it's not Minecraft in space.
That's what I want.
Anyway, June 28th is Lego Star Wars Force Awakens.
I am super excited for this.
Should be pretty cool.
Yeah, we premiered a bunch of footage for IGN First earlier on in May, and the game looks super gorgeous. It's going to tell a bunch of canonical stories. Like, we're going to find out how 3PO got his red arm in this game.
Well, we know that from the comics.
That was revealed in the comics.
But most of us are illiterate.
Spoilers, he got it from that bad, bad robot.
Well, thanks.
That was a production company joke.
Yeah, I do what it was.
I know. Yeah.
And finally, on June 20th, I think Prison Architect comes to consoles.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Man, I thought that would be a Justin game, because I love, you know, Dwarf Fortress and, you know, all those kinds of games. I loved Banished and all these sim top-down games where you sort of tell people what to do, then they scurry off and do it, but I couldn't get into Prison Architect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm. It was it wasn't really the game. I feel like it was more my fault than the game's fault. It was a little too...
It's not you, it's me.
It wasn't sandboxy enough. It was a little too puzzly in terms of, like, how you escape from your prison cell and stuff like that.
That doesn't sound as fun as commanding people. Yeah.
You still do that.
But you're not thinking of the escapists, are you?
I might be thinking of the escapists.
Maybe you're thinking of...
Oh! Prison Architect!
Yeah.
Oh!
You don't escape. You are the one in Prison Architect.
You are the one who knocks.
No, I play Prison Architect. There's a series of Let's Plays of me and Greg playing Prison Architect on PC. Yeah, no, I was literally thinking of the escapists.
I've never played this.
You just saved me from significant...
No, I exposed you.
I mean, I got the names wrong. Yeah, no, I love Prison Architect.
Totally a Justin game.
Yeah.
Prison Architect is great. Build your own prison, and it's set up just like Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
he's also
great. I've never played
you're a big fan of the American Penal System as well.
Yeah. Who's not?
Well,
half of Scoop.
Half of Scoop, not a fan of prison.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners. Thank
listeners,
you.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Chris from Chicago.
Hey, Chris.
Nice. Chris from Chicago says, "Hey Damon and Scoop Crew, thanks for the hours of fun podcasts. I had a lot of post-surgery downtime recently, and the catalog of GameScoop episodes has kept me entertained."
Oh, that's cool.
He does not reveal what his surgery was. What do you think it was? Do you think he was lobotomized?
No, I think he had to get a new butt because his last one was cracked.
he had two buttholes.
You know, butt surgery has come a long way in recent years.
Yeah, that's true, especially Chicago.
Usually outpatient surgery.
The hospital from ER does a lot of butt surgery. Yeah.
Isn't that what Grey's Anatomy is about?
Chicago Hope
anyway, Surgery.
Chris from Chicago says, "What are your favorite controllers of all time?
Ooh.
And do you think there is a game that exemplifies your choice by having a great control scheme? I have always been a big DualShock fan, but the Xbox One controller may be my pick. Its size and fit is comfortable in my hands. The sticks give greater control than 360 did, and I slightly prefer the trigger and bumper configuration to an R1 and R2.
Oh, there's a lot of great controllers.
Yeah, that's a good question.
The Japanese Saturn controller is really good.
Before we try to just pick one, let's go through them over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I did not know that the Atari 2600 joystick was bad. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fine. The NES controller was, I think we can all assume, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, we didn't know any better. Yes. It's like, this just works.
Yeah. That crosspad, really good. Man. Oh,
crosspad was really good. Yeah. Buttons felt really good.
I do remember having a little harder time when the Genesis introduced a third face button, and I was like, whoa.
I think the Genesis controller is a little chunky. A little too chunky for my taste.
It's bigger.
Yeah. I remember it being very light. It was too light. Yeah. You want to have a little heft.
Yeah, it's really funny because it's really bigger, but it seems hollow.
Yeah,
it is exactly. Hollow. That's how it feels.
And then Super Nintendo added a lot more buttons.
Yes.
Yep.
Two shoulder buttons.
The shoulder buttons are in a slightly awkward spot on the Super Nintendo controller.
I agree with that. They're slightly on top of it in a way that
I have done all of my Super Nintendo gaming, still have the console I got in 91 or whatever, with a third-party controller, and it has these like auto flickers at the top. It's like sort of bulbous, but that's what I associate hundreds, thousands of hours of playing of Earthbound and Mario RPG.
You never had
That was just our Player 2 controller.
Oh, now, while we're still back in the past, did any of you guys ever fool with like an Intellivision controller?
That's very confusing.
That is extreme. It's four buttons on the side, 12 buttons on the front, and then a disc.
Like a phone dial pad
that you press around. And the disc can go, it can go like 40-some different directions.
Yeah, the little slidey disc, like on a PSP.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing. Well, somewhere between that and the knob on a Coleco controller. Yeah. That is a weird controller. But it did have those cool overlays that you could use for the buttons, mm-hmm. so you know what they all did.
The first PlayStation controller was pretty much just a copy of the Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
just a little more.
It didn't have analog sticks.
Yeah, no analog absolutely. Sticks.
And then the Nintendo 64 controller was pretty different, but
it was 2/3 fine, and then that whole left-hand portion was sort of just not necessary.
It was made for Mario 64.
Yeah,
I mean the trigger was really good. It did a lot of smart stuff. They figured out things about analog sticks.
The trigger ended up feeling great for GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
But to steal a Bettenhausism, the secret best controller of that generation was the Saturn controller, not the American one, but the one that came out in Japan. Mm. That controller is gold. 6 face buttons, 2 shoulder buttons, perfect pad, feels just awesome in your hands. Exactly the right size. Easily the best controller of that decade.
Well, even better than you think. DualShock.
That's what I think. Yeah. It's like everything.
I didn't like the DualShock. I never liked it.
Yeah.
I
changed everything.
Yeah.
No,
I could never go back.
I thought the 2 analog sticks were positioned poorly. It doesn't fit your fingers to have them both down here. It's much the Xbox layout smarter having them off center that way. And I can't believe that anybody would prefer them being convex. Concave, so your thumb can sit in there.
I'm just thinking of the time. At the time, I thought it was
great. I'm just saying, they stuck with a controller that I found inferior for almost 15 years.
I do agree that by the time we got to PlayStation 3, that controller was feeling arcade.
Weird. No, I'm still. I think I'm one of the few people that I prefer the DualShock over any of the Xbox controllers.
I like the DualShock more than the Xbox controller, also, actually, but I've never really liked the original Xbox controllers very much. But also, during that decade, Microsoft Sidewinder Pro, best joystick ever made.
It's odd that there's great controllers that all have a fatal flaw. Marty aside, I think most people, commonly, the Xbox controller is considered better because the triggers are so good.
Triggers are great.
But the face buttons are uncomfortable, the little jeweled face buttons.
And their first D-pad was famously terrible.
Yeah.
You
had the Duke come out originally for the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm. If you got big hands, that's probably one of the best controllers ever made.
Yeah.
Although it still has, I don't know.
Probably the worst controller for one of my favorite consoles is the Dreamcast. And that's almost solely because the cord comes out of the bottom.
Yeah.
And you have to loop it behind, and you have to connect it to a thing, and you put those VMUs that die all the time in there, and a little trash controller.
We skipped over, I'm a huge fan of the GameCube controller.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I actually wasn't completely, what year did the GameCube come out?
2001?
Yeah, so it's maybe my hands are still growing a little bit. It feels small in my hands now, but at the time, it was pretty perfect.
I liked it too.
I liked the double action on the trigger. Down and then click was great. The Z thing was weird though. I don't know.
Yeah, the face buttons are a little. It's there's a big A button, right?
And then
it's great.
3 gray ones around.
Awesome.
You like that?
Yeah.
It works really well for me. And actually, I don't like the triggers on Xbox controllers as well. I felt like the triggers on the GameCube did. I feel like it did what the DualShock was trying to do better, and also exceed is better than the Xbox in that, because I think Xbox triggers still have slightly too much give. They go too far up.
Yeah.
Well, then what about the Wavebird?
So it's hard to It was once you had the Wavebird, you're like, wait, we're never doing chords again, right? We're done with chords.
Yeah.
This is it.
We're not done with the chords, sadly.
I know.
Yeah. I do think I think PS4 is probably the most perfect game controller we've had in a long time. They finally fixed the analog sticks.
What about the Xbox One Elite controller?
That controller was real
nice. I actually haven't played around.
That controller was real nice.
I think that might have the edge my favorite.
It's also crazy expensive though, right?
Yeah. It's really great.
Generation Xbox controller in general I like better than the 360 controller because it fixed the D-pad finally. How you screw up a D-pad, I'm not sure.
Well, it's because Nintendo are the only people that can make a cross D-pad.
In America, yeah.
Yeah, but Nintendo controller-wise has, I think, sort of been blown it from the Wii and then a lot of the peripheral controllers and then the Wii U. I don't like the GamePad Pro or whatever.
We did gloss over the Wii. It was just such a different, but it sold over 100 million consoles just off the strength of the tech and the controller itself, so that can't be written off. I actually really liked it. It felt weird getting used to the removing the nunchuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having the hands have your hands together, I could just be
and it
back.
Felt so good. And I always just associate that with Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
It felt so good.
Yep. Best way to play Resident Evil 4, I think, still, is with that combination. I love having the separated controllers in that.
I think we can all agree that the worst controller of all time, though. mouse and keyboard.
Oh, okay. now you just burn.
He's just kidding.
Just go burn.
Wait, I'm not kidding. I don't like everybody.
What about an iPad? Yeah.
No, I love my iPad.
I like
for certain things.
Yeah.
If a game is built around it, but I'm never going to want to play like Mega Man on a touchscreen. Yeah.
The argument that I always used to troll people with when they'd say touchscreens weren't meant for gaming, games weren't meant to be designed with touchscreens, so I'm like, yeah, like a mouse and keyboard. But that worked out all right.
I do like the PlayStation 4 controller a lot.
That's really good.
Improved over the PS3, I think.
Are we picking favorites?
So favorite of all time?
Yeah.
I mean, we all seem to have a great fondness for the Wavebird.
I do love the Wavebird, but I think sentimentally, the Sidewinder Pro still wins it for me. Mm-hmm. I played so much on that thing. You had a little throttle right here on the side, and you could pivot the joystick. It just felt perfect. So if you're playing like MechWarrior, like just churning the chassis sideways and still being able to steer and then having the hat up here was just lovely. No joysticks ever felt that good.
I think we can all agree that third-party Super Nintendo controller I can't remember the name of is probably our favorite one.
Yeah. Our next email comes from Daniel Reason from Kent in the United Kingdom.
Ooh.
Oi! He says, hello, Damon, Justin, and the other guys.
Yeah.
The other guys. I've been a longtime viewer of this show. It is always one of the best parts of my week. As you know, with E3 quickly approaching, a lot of people have been talking about things they want to see, Red Dead Redemption 2 being a popular choice. Goodness. However, I personally did not enjoy the first Red Dead quite as much as my friends.
Get out!
I only played about 15% of the main story, so my question to you is, have there been any big or popular games that you personally have struggled to enjoy?
Oh, man.
If so, what?
Yeah, all of them, dude. Like, no. I mean, it's true. Like, my gaming tastes, I need to be in the right mood to enjoy something like The Witcher, for example. Like, a lot of the time I'm playing, you know, sort of stranger stuff like Prison Architect or, you know, Big Pharma on PC I played a lot of where you build your own pharmacy. And, like, I often start games like Arkham or Witcher or Tomb Raider or Watch Dogs, and just I play through it a little, and it's just, I don't know, they feel samey a lot, and I often have a hard time getting through them.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's easy to get open world fatigue.
Yep. I swing back and forth between big AAA stuff and experimental indie stuff, and if I play enough indie stuff, I'm like, this has a lot of cool ideas, but it's not meaty enough. They're all a little small, and now I want something that just has that polish, and it's going to take me through, you know, an adventure, and then I go back and forth.
So we all love video games. We all have like our favorite genres, and then there are just genres that don't interest us, right? So like, there's going to be a big game that comes out like Mortal Kombat X, but I'm just not really a fighting game guy.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It's kind of like that's just not going to fall into my playlist.
Yeah, I feel like I'm that way with a lot of racing games. Like I never really understood the appeal of stuff of super simmy games like Gran Turismo or like Forza. But I mean, I personally don't understand the appeal, but I sort of get why if you like those sort of things that you totally dig them.
Let's go.
Halo, definitely.
I'm with you on Halo.
Yeah.
I never really understood
pure monsters.
I think that's I don't think that's like a cool world. There's like nothing cool about that world or the characters.
Oh, yeah, they're well designed games. I mean, they're very.
I mean,
they're,
all right, like,
right same here. I don't find it compelling. I think the design in terms of the game, the gunplay, yes, it's wonderful.
I'll briefly summarize every Halo game. Generic space marine shoots at some generic aliens, then some generic zombies show up.
There's a giant pear at the end.
The Florida not zombies!
The aliens are generic.
God of War.
I think I have an interesting culture.
God of War never bit me. Devil May Cry never got me. Hmm. And all y'all who talk about Banjo, just, I don't get it.
You would.
What is happening?
I do love Banjo.
This is the sofa of sanity right now.
Yeah.
So you love every game.
I've never been able to get into Elder Scrolls or Fallout. I am playing Mass Effect for the first time this summer after E3.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Are you doing that for IGN or just for funsies?
For funsies, but I'm going to probably do Let's Plays of it for various channels
and
sort of write about what it's like to revisit that game after 10 years.
Yeah.
Or visit, I guess, that game for the first time.
Yep. Maybe some of this is chalked up to being a relatively new dad. My kid just turned 2, but last year I played every game and didn't beat any game.
Yeah.
I got about halfway through all the big AAA games, and then that was the point I had my fill. And now that I have a little bit more gaming time, she's a little bit older, like I am getting through, I got through Uncharted very quickly. I guess that's a smaller game too.
Yeah.
But,
Like
I my list of games I want to go back to is getting so big that realistically I'm just never, like we talked about this on Scoop last week or 2 weeks ago, I want to go back to Batman, I want to go back to Witcher, I want to go back to Fallout. I've kind of been toying with getting a gaming PC, and that might be my excuse like I played those game on console, and maybe I'll just pick up like the PC Ultimate Edition or whatever, mm-hmm. and go through them again. Mm-hmm. I probably never do that.
No, you definitely won't.
And I put Overwatch up here just because like it seems like everyone's playing Overwatch right now, except for me.
I'm not playing it either. But I'm intrigued by it. I want to try it.
Dude, Overwatch is so good. So here's the epiphany that I had, Damon. Yeah.
Okay.
It took me 10 years to admit this, probably more, 15 years. I am ready to admit here to myself and to the world that I am not a great FPS player.
Oh, I'm not at all. I'm terrible.
But I'm just saying.
In terms of like a competitive setting.
Yeah. I was in denial. For years it was, well, I was playing the objective and everyone else was just trying to get kills, but I was the only person trying to capture the hill. Hmm. Or it was, I was calling out enemy positions for my teammates and that was helping even though I wasn't getting a lot of kills. And I had every excuse under the sun. And then I finally said, you know what? I know myself better now. And I'm ready to admit that I'm just not especially skilled at this. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna bring it around.
Okay, bring it back.
Overwatch is great because that's a game where high skill or low skill FPS players can succeed and make meaningful contributions. And not contribute in like a, oh, good job, like you're really helping. But like truly, you can contribute in meaningful ways even if you're not a super skilled FPS player. Like, mm-hmm. I play a character named Symmetra that gives all your teammates shields and puts up a teleporter so you can get back into the fight faster and puts up turrets that can kill people. And like, you don't need to aim at anybody. Like, mm-hmm. and like a character like that can really turn the game around for your team. And like, if you have one on your team, everyone is stronger for it. And like, I love playing her. I've played her for hours and hours. Even though, you know, I'm not lining up headshots. Mm-hmm. And I get, you know, I get lots of kills and play the game. And Overwatch has whatever you're, like, if you want to snipe, if you want to set up turrets, if you want to heal, if you want to just have a shield that protects everybody, like, you can do all that stuff with characters like Reinhardt and these other people. So I'm that's the reason that me, personally, I'm completely enamored with it.
Yes.
That's really exciting. I cannot wait to play this.
And like other games that like Battleborn obviously is another class-based shooter, and even Team Fortress, but none of them have that feel of Overwatch where I don't feel like a lesser member of my team for picking, you know, a support class like that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so important to succeeding.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that at the end of the day, when I'm sitting down to play my game, I just don't want to jump into like a multiplayer setting.
You can play with us.
I mean, okay. If that happens, but like we said before, we've played together online a grand total of 0 times in all the years we've known each other.
Zach and Kathleen and I play almost every night.
Okay. Maybe I'll.
And Marty's going to join that group too.
Probably just going to go to a bar.
Yeah. It's time for Video Game 20 Questions.
All right!
This week's suggestion comes from Knox Crichton.
Is he a superhero?
Hell of a name.
I think he's like a superhero. Yeah, that's like a secret identity.
Knox Crichton, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys know how this works. My panel has 20 yes or no questions to guess Knox's mystery game.
It's not that game, is it?
I don't know, is it?
Oh, I don't even know what game that is. Is that God of War? Did it come out before January 1st, 2000?
No.
All right, so fairly recent. Justin, you didn't ask your typical first question.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Oh, wow, okay. Is it associated with the current console generation?
No. No.
Okay.
Justin, what's your normal first question?
I usually just ask a silly one.
Your hair looks like a silly one right now.
Yeah, I run my hands through my hair when I'm thinking.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Does your character wear a hat?
No.
They never wear a hat.
Not to my knowledge.
It's not Watch Dogs, guys.
All right.
Oh, that was also this gen.
Yeah.
Is this game first person?
Yes.
Is this game associated with the previous console generation?
No.
Oh.
Okay, so we're...
Wait.
So we're talking early 2000s.
It's neither the Xbox 360, Wii, and PS3 generation, nor is it current gen.
So we're talking...
what does that leave us?
Xbox, GameCube, PS2, GameCube.
PS2, GameCube, Dreamcast.
It could be a handheld if Damon's being tricksy.
No, it's first person. Very few handheld games are first person.
Very few, though there are a few.
Was this a console exclusive?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Black.
Ooh. Okay.
It's either Black or Halo.
Black didn't come out after 2000, I would guess.
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Yeah, it was a PS2 game.
Yeah, or Halo.
And Xbox.
Yeah.
All those games are after 2000?
Yeah.
Why don't we narrow down the console, yeah.
Was this an Xbox exclusive?
No.
Is this a PlayStation exclusive?
No.
OK. Okay, so it's either the Dreamcast or the
Is this GameCube exclusive?
No. You guys are burning questions.
What? So it's gotta be Dreamcast, right?
No, unless Damon's being a
It's
real
a console exclusive.
I'm not being anything. Knox picked this game.
It's a console exclusive from after 2000.
Wait, maybe I misphrased my question.
What?
When I meant a console exclusive, I meant exclusive to a single console.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
And that's how I took your question.
Okay, so
then it's either a Dreamcast game or...
A handheld?
X versus Sever on GBA.
There we are. Could be that.
Or PSP.
Oh, or PSP, that's what I said.
No, PSP was associated with the...
I think first-person Dreamcast exclusive, first-person shooters. There's Blue Shift.
That wasn't that first person, that was third person.
Yeah, it was third person.
Or no, Blue Stinger.
This isn't working well. Is this primarily considered a single player game?
No. That's right. 10 questions.
Well, we don't know it's a shooter. We only know it's first person.
First person.
We made a big leap there.
Oh, yeah. So 10 questions.
So it could be like Morrowind.
10 questions, what do we know?
Yeah, except for it's not Morrowind, but something like that.
Here.
After 2000,
yeah.
You know it's an exclusive.
To the console.
On a console, and it's not an Xbox or PlayStation exclusive.
Or Nintendo.
You guys didn't ask if it's a Nintendo.
We did. We just asked that.
We went through all three.
Yeah, we went through all three.
You did not ask me if it's a Nintendo.
Yeah, we did. Well, is it a GameCube
exclusive? Yeah.
Well, you asked if it's a GameCube exclusive?
Yeah.
That's not the same question as, is it a Nintendo exclusive?
What?
What does that mean?
That means exactly that. It's not a GameCube exclusive.
Oh. Well, you had a Perfect Dark come out.
Oh, God. It literally might have been 2000.
Aha. Oh, that's a good thought.
Does this game star a woman named Joanna Dark?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it came out in the year 2000.
God, yeah. It came out like summer 2000, like May 2000.
Wow, nicely done, Damon.
There were multiple N64 games that came out in 2000, I think even 2001. I think Conquer came out in 2001.
Yeah,
yeah. 2000 was like the last like legit year, and then 2001 was like the death knell year.
Yeah. Conquer was, and a couple other things.
Was 2000 Majora's Mask, or was that 99?
I think that was 99.
I think it was the end of 99, okay. November 99.
Well, wow. Because Ocarina of Time was 98.
Yeah,
it came out a year later. A year after?
Yeah, well, that's why they did it. They came to him and said, hey, make us another Zelda game you can release in a year.
That's why
it's structured that way.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
That's why it only has four dungeons. That's why it's the most overrated Zelda game.
That's what Justin doesn't know what he's talking
about. It's a very interesting Zelda game that
he's a sofa.
We had the Banjo-Kazooie Bowl.
I don't actually enjoy playing. It's a really neat idea.
You don't
idea.
Enjoy playing Majora's Mask?
No, timers.
I know. It's the antithesis of, hey, explore at your own pace and solve these puzzles and really stand back and think about how this all fits together. And instead, it's just pressure.
You know, that's not how life works, yo.
It's like
that's coming for all of us.
That's how video games work.
It's like playing Fallout 1 without patching out the time limit. You're just like, what is the point? What am I doing here?
I'm with you. That timer.
Before we go real quick, one more email from Phil Hearn. Phil says, just wondering, does Justin actually get on with Jared Petty? As it sounds like he's always trying to shoot him down with snide comments.
Get on or get it on?
That's true. I was a little mean to Jared. No, I enjoy Jared a lot.
Just today, Justin was saying some very nice and complimentary things about me.
What? How is every show Jared on, people think everyone hates Jared?
Yeah. Well, this is actually something I'm sending all of these messages to try to garner something. That's what's happening. No, I think maybe
it's because we tease Jared out of love.
I do the little lost puppy thing, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But Justin and I are your friends.
If I didn't like you, I wouldn't say the things that I say.
Yeah, there is, here at IGN, the culture
like
of friendship is very,
like.
We are a very teased easy bunch. That is definitely it's a slightly hard-edged warmth. I think that's fair to say.
I don't even pick up on a lot of teasing.
Yeah, I miss a lot of it too.
I call them Kirby.
So, well, I kind of look like Kirby.
I think it's a term of endearment.
Kirby's wonderful.
No, I don't, and it's not just like I'm like, oh shucks, guys. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Phil says, love the show, by the way, and Jared rocks, leave him alone.
Aww.
We need to get the hashtag leave Jared alone.
I do very much appreciate you coming to my defense, but no kidding. They're all really, really nice to me and to one another.
Yeah, for sure. We're all big fans.
Justin said I was funny.
Jared's blinking in Morse code right now. Listen,
he's like,
sick of the police.
But no, I've heard this come up a few times. Thanks, guys. But no, really, I like these people.
Aww.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for this week. I think there's one more scoop before E3 week
Whoa.
Is upon us.
Goodness gracious.
A single scoop in a waffle cone.
Yeah, ooh. Delicious. Mm.
Sounds great. You guys have that Humphrey Slocum's secret breakfast ice cream?
Oh, what is this?
It is incredible.
The bourbon cereal.
It's bourbon with cornflakes in it. Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's the best.
Where is this at?
Humphrey Slocum is the ice cream shop here in San Francisco.
Let's go get some, Damon.
We should go get some. But thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Jared. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.